All right, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 5. If you got a Bible, I encourage you to look at it. I'll say the stuff I'm going to talk about this morning. I have not heard too many sermons about this, and I'm kind of resentful that I've never heard more about these things. We're dealing with family matters. There's incredible practical good stuff in the Bible and how Christianity deals with and how the Lord deals with families. And so, 1 Timothy, this is a really specific situation, but it does illustrate the spirit in which Christianity is supposed to carry. The situation deals with widows, moms, dads, if you have children or nieces and nephews, and one of the spouse dies, this is that situation. And not everyone is in that situation yet. We'll all probably be there at some point in time. And it's not dealing with, I don't want to deal with some of the nuanced problems with dysfunction in family and things like that. This is a really specific thing that illustrates and is an instruction for Christian families. And like I said, I sometimes kind of resent that some of these things that were said that were supposed to be taught haven't been taught. Instead, I want to argue about, just certain dogmas and things like that. But that's the trouble with a lot of what's going on, is people just want to argue about stuff and want to be right instead of learning. And so 1 Timothy chapter 5, let's read these verses and we'll talk about them. Deals with family matters. It deals with what a church, a congregation of people, their obligation to various folks in the congregation. But let's read this. 1 Timothy chapter 5, starting in verse 3. It says, "Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." Anybody remember Paul, Romans 12? This is the good and acceptable will of God. That's this. This is the thing that's good and acceptable, or one of many things that are good and acceptable before God. Verse 5, "Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day." A widow indeed has no there's no family. There's no one related to her or him. There's no relation that can care for them. Verse 6, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." There's a word that's maybe familiar, dead in trespasses and sins. It's defined here, dead and just living according to your own pleasure. Something you've probably known folks where the relationship is they're just chasing relationships, basically. And that's sort of the idea. Verse 7, "And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." But I would say that's pretty important. It's kind of like, why are we sometimes arguing about, I don't know, just I would say Trinity, virgin birth, things like that. Those are important things. But how come we don't get into stuff like this, where this is a specific instruction that says, if you don't do this, you're not even regarded as a Christian. if you don't do these things. That's kind of a very important thing to know. Verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for they, when they begin to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. That's the idea of chasing, just chasing down more relationships and things like that. Withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believe he have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. All right, I'm going to stop there. The idea in these very specific but very poignant instructions here, this is what Christianity is supposed to produce. It's supposed to produce people who care for each other, starting with your family. That's the idea. And so this instruction, when I said earlier that I'm sometimes a little bit frustrated that this doesn't get preached more, because this is one of the specific things that Paul says, Timothy, you need to tell your congregation this. This is part of what Christianity is. And so the idea of supporting widows, that's the general idea this morning. And again, it's a family topic because we're going through some family stuff through the Bible here. But a couple things to note right off the bat. There is good news. There's a gospel for widows. There's good news for widows, folks who have been married, who have family, and now they're not married. Now the spouse has died, and this is what the gospel is for. It's not just, I get so frustrated, honestly, and I don't want to be, again, so negative about this, but it's so frustrating when we limit the gospel to just 3 days of Jesus Christ's life. It is his whole life. It's everything he taught. You guys remember when Jesus Christ is on the cross and Mary's down there, John's down there. Anybody remember what he says to John? Behold thy mother, meaning this is now your responsibility. She's your responsibility now. We're family and she's your responsibility. This is something Jesus Christ taught. And so when Paul says, make sure you teach your congregation this, well, why don't we do it more often? Well, we're going to try to today. So there's a gospel according to or for widows. Christian children, nieces, nephews must take care of their own family first. That is a priority. Now, I will say we're not dealing with all the different situations. Maybe there's estranged family. Maybe there's all kinds of scenarios where that's just not a realistic thing. We're dealing with a normal situation. Mom and dad, aunt and uncle, family. Mom dies, dad dies. And now it is, if you are a Christian family, this is your responsibility. You take care of mom. You take care of dad. You take care of aunt. You take care of uncle. This is your responsibility. And Paul says this is part of the teachings of Jesus Christ. So let's not limit the gospel to 3 days of Jesus Christ's life. Though they're very important days, that's not all that Jesus Christ said and did. He said a whole lot of other things, and this is one of those things. So there was this teaching of Jesus Christ and a teaching given to, it's actually given to Moses early on in the law. which is interesting, because in the law, some of these things start showing up with the nation of Israel, how they're supposed to take care of their family and things like that. But as time went on, the nation of Israel, it's a little bit of history, but as time went on, the nation of Israel, you know, as we've talked about, they developed their own religion. They take stuff from Moses, and by the time Jesus Christ shows up, they are so, the religion of Israel is so anti-Christ. Jesus Christ confronts people who have made a rule now, where if you don't take care of your own family, you can give money to the temple and pay the priests, and they'll basically, it's a write-off. They have created this anti-Christian system, and this is what Jesus Christ comes into. So all of those things, this is some history about this. Proverbs, Solomon had said it years ago, 1,000 years before Jesus Christ. Solomon talked about somebody who robs their father or their mother. This person is a companion of a destroyer. They've got a bad spirit about them. And this is what Christianity has come to solve. The heart matters, the problems that make people fight, that make people hate each other. This is the thing that Christianity has come to solve. It's the sin in people. And this is one of the little elements where it shows up in families' lives. It's faith that does something. This is what James says. He said, look, if you don't take care of widows and orphans, your religion is vain. It's worthless. It's not what you say it is. Whatever you say it is, that's not what it is. He says true religion is to take care of the fatherless and the widows. That's true religion. That's real. That's a real substantial. What did we say? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, what's the substance? The substance is I trust the Lord, therefore I take care of mom and dad. I trust the Lord, therefore I take care of the people God told me to take care of. That's substantial. It's not that the thing I'm hoping for is that's the substance. The substance is my life. What does it prove out in my life? And so here Paul is explaining to Timothy, take this, tell your congregations this, because this is part of the gospel. This is part of Christianity. This is part of the good that God is trying to produce in people. This is what he's trying to produce through Jesus Christ. So you got this caring for widows, mom, dad, aunt, uncle, basic tenet of Christianity. He says, learn piety at home. Let them learn how to do this at home. I think it's interesting, the words that are used or the phrase that are used. He said, this is good and this is acceptable to God. That is unfortunately sometimes so contrary to maybe the things you understand about Christianity, that the only thing acceptable to God is Jesus Christ on the cross and that's it. No. Now that is the main thing. This is where God is satisfied. This is where the Father is satisfied. But there are things in your life and in my life, as Christians, if you are a Christian, if you want to participate in Christianity, that are acceptable to God, that are right. And this is what Paul would say, that Jesus would say, I'm trying to produce people who are full of good work. That's what I'm trying to create. And we're so afraid of that. We're so afraid of, oh, good works, good works, good works. It's not good works. No, he's trying to produce people who are good people, who don't want to hurt other people, especially their own family, who want to take care of people they're supposed to love already. So you got good news for widows. The way it's worded, this is acceptable. This is good. This is acceptable to God. The second part of this, before I move on, one more thing about this. You guys remember at the end of Matthew, there is this phrase that everybody loves to talk about. Go ye therefore, teach all nations whatsoever things I've taught you. You know, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, all that stuff. And everybody loves that go. That's the go. You get the missionaries and it's go. It's go and go. Sometimes my question is, what are you supposed to be teaching? What's the whatsoever? Because Jesus doesn't limit it to a few things. He says, everything I've taught you, go teach everybody else. Everything. Not just this one thing that's your little pet peeve or your little deal. Teach them everything I've taught you. And this is how you produce good people with good hearts who want to do good things for other people. And this is the basis of Christianity. This is what Christianity is. Teaching all nations whatsoever things I have told you. And then we go, well, the main thing he said was this. Well, that's not what he said to go teach everybody. Teach them everything. Everything I told you. This is part of it. In verses 5 and 6 here, there's another section, widows without family, which he deals with. She that is a widow indeed is desolate, trusteth in God, continueth in supplications and prayers night and day, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. To put it very simply, selfishness is, that is just, that's running errands for a corpse, so to speak. Just the selfish life, just dead while you live. That's not Christianity. But widows without family. And I think we've got, I know they won't want to be pointed out. We've got maybe a few that we know of. Or widows with family. I know we've got a few of those. But widows without family are widows indeed. Some of those widows are spiritually minded. There's a case where a lady named Anna is at the birth of Jesus Christ. She's a widow. She lost her husband after 8 years and apparently never remarried and just served at the temple with prayers and fasting and whatever else she was doing at the temple, serving God, spiritually minded. We have some folks that are like that here. You know what you come to realize when you think about the people who are living out Christianity is these are the people you appreciate. These are the people that, because this is what you need. This is what we need. It's what people need. And if you appreciate when someone actually lives out what Jesus Christ taught. Because you know why you appreciate it? Because it's good. It's not, you don't have to be afraid of them. They don't have bad intentions. They're there to help, to do good, to serve. And that's the mindset. And so Paul telling Timothy, here's some widows. Indeed, here's some widows who are, unfortunately, sometimes they'll chase after their own desires, which we're all prone to do. But the thing is with that, you can't change. You're not going to stop that. You can maybe try to guide it a little bit, but you can't stop that. And so you don't invest in that, which he'll say later. But back over here, other widows, he talks about being dead in their sins, which we just talked about. Ephesians 2 and 1 and 3 is a good cross-reference to it, about dead in sins and dead in trespasses and sins. But widows without family. And then the next section of this, and this is apparently why this is supposed to be a fundamental doctrine. You know, I wonder about sometimes these things. You know, we have the people, and we do too, statements of faith. We believe this, and we believe this, and we believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's good. Do we believe salvation by Jesus Christ? That's good. We believe that. Why isn't stuff like this a fundamental of the faith? It sounds pretty fundamental. Like if you're not doing this, you're not even counted among the congregation. The way Paul talks about it, listen to it. Verse 7 and 8. These things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. I'd say that's pretty fundamental to the faith. You got to do that. If not doing it means you've denied the faith and you're worse than somebody who isn't even a Christian but does care for their own family, I would say this is pretty fundamental. And I'm just thinking out loud. I'm just like thinking out loud here. Why don't we have more of this? Why don't we have more of this in statements of faith? Hey, we care for our families here. We take care of our own. We love our families. We take care of mom and dad. If Paul says, well, if you don't, you've denied the faith. That sounds like you're not even a part of the group anymore. It irks me sometimes. Where did we go wrong? Where did we miss this? Where do we miss things like this? That we want to argue about stuff that isn't going to apply to our lives, actually. It doesn't really have any application. We're going to argue and fight about it instead of dealing with real-time, actual, practical stuff that the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ says, this is Christianity. This is what it is. This is what it looks like. I don't know, sometimes I get frustrated. So this is supposed to be a fundamental Christian doctrine. Paul told Timothy that as a teacher of Christianity, this is something you need to teach the congregation, to do this. Do this. Why? Because, well, according to these verses, this is a fundamental of the faith. Maybe we ought to reevaluate. What's the fundamentals of the faith? Well, I got to believe this. 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 Well, does any of it actually line up with what Paul or the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ said is actually a fundamental of the faith? I've never seen this. I'm as much at fault too, but I think about, how long has Christianity been going on? How many years have you may have been involved in it? And how many sermons have you heard about this where Paul says, this is fundamental, this is basic. This is something you have to do. And if you don't do it, you're not counted as part of the group. That's pretty poignant there. So important the church congregation get this. It's part of being blameless. The last parts of this deal with the financial burden of the congregation. And Paul is very, very much down to earth with this. But it's it's generous, it's the right spirit. In verses 9 through 16, he gives some parameters for widows. He says this in verse 9. Let not a widow be taken into the number. When he says taken into the number, this is about financial support from a congregation. And you know that because at the end, in verse 16, he explains it. If any man or woman that believe we have widows, let them relieve them and let not the church be charged. This is a financial thing. That it may relieve them that are widows indeed. So the congregation is supposed to be left to relieving widows who are widows without any family, who have proven themselves over time. This is an obligation of the congregation. But let's read these. Verse 9, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. Anybody know how old 80 years is? 60. Having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Every bit of generosity and charity, it's true in your life, it's true in the government. Charity and generosity come with some responsibility of the recipient. There's some responsibility. This is why people get mad as taxpayers for money going to people who are irresponsible with money sometimes. Or if you're going to go buy drugs with it, we don't want to support that. That's the idea. Some responsibility. And the responsibility Paul places on the widows in this case is, well, if you want support, financial support from the church, from the congregation, and you've proven yourself to actually be someone who is faithful, someone who has taken care of people in your lifetime, you've taken care of Christians in your lifetime, you're over 60 years old, which in this case probably means, okay, well now the idea of getting a job to support yourself or the idea of marriage or any of these things are kind of, we're past that point. So he puts a number on it. But if you have a history, a reputation of being faithful, okay, well then now the congregation has an opportunity and maybe even an obligation to take care of you. But if there's no history of being faithful with any of this, and you just showed up, and you just demand money, because I will be honest, we have stuff like that happen. Every church does. Where people show up, you don't know who they are, and they want money. And sometimes it's legitimate, and sometimes it's not. But there's just no way to know if you don't know the people. You choose your charity. The Lord chooses His charities. People choose their charities. You do too. And so here's some stipulations. Over 60, good reputation. He allows the younger widows remarry. They got a lot of life ahead of them. So the church is not obligated to support them. But ultimately, in verses, let's see, say 14, he says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. There you go. That's back to the family thing. If you got family, mom, dad, if you're a nephew or a niece and you've got an aunt or an uncle, a mom or a dad, and it's, you know, feasible now in this way we live now, it's family obligation to take care of family first. And Paul says that's what Christianity is trying to produce. People who care for each other, people who love each other. So he says, if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. Let not the church be charged that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. And so we stop there. So the congregation would be responsible for certain widows. The idea, this whole thing, I'll tell you, the context of this whole thing is about financial support, basically. But what you find inside of this is the spirit of Christianity and what God is trying, again, God is trying to produce in people. He's trying to produce people who are full of good works, who will honor Jesus Christ with their lives, not just profess Jesus Christ, but you will actually honor Him. It's interesting that in the same the same way Paul reasons about service to God in Romans chapter 12, and he says, offer your bodies living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God, for this is good and acceptable, the will of God. You know, good and acceptable will of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, I think. And in that, this is good and acceptable, that's the same thing he's saying of this. So apparently this is the way you serve God. I'm bringing it around here, but this is the way you honor Jesus Christ. You don't honor Jesus Christ by confessing that He, I mean, you can talk about Him being your Savior, but if you're not living Him out like He actually is, like His sacrifice actually meant something to you, like His sacrifice actually imparts wisdom to your own life, if you're not living that out, that's not good and acceptable. What's good and acceptable is if you honor Jesus Christ by living in a way that He lived. And doing the things that he says. That's the other thing. Supporting widows. This is one aspect of family life. And maybe you never had paid attention to this. I don't know. I hadn't honestly ever paid attention, this much attention to this. When I'm going through family matters, the Lord talks a lot about family matters. And then when you get to Paul's instruction to congregations, there's a lot of instruction that's very practical. And it's practical because the Lord is trying to produce a spirit in people that is the same spirit in Jesus Christ, a Holy Spirit. He's trying to produce this fruit that's love, that's joy, that's goodness, that's long-suffering, that's peace. These are the things, these are the characteristics of the Spirit. And don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of, that's good works, it's good works, you're not saved by works, you're not saved by works, all that stuff. Don't be afraid of it. This is what the Lord is trying to produce, and embrace it and accept it, because this is what He's trying to produce, and this is one of the ways He produces it in people. He instructs you and says, look, you got a mom that's a widow, take care of your mother. You got a dad that's a widow, take care of your dad. You might even, this is just particularly widows, but that spirit would say, hey, take care of them anyway. Take care of them because they took care of you. Take care of them because it's your responsibility to take care of them. That, no, it doesn't contradict leave father and mother and all that stuff. It doesn't contradict it. You can take care of mom and dad. You can take care of auntie and uncle. And that's good. I think of this last thing here. When we think of spiritual battles, I think the wrong idea is, well, if I do good, something good will happen at some point. Doing good is the victory. Doing the right thing is the success. Doing what the Lord said, that's winning. That's where the victory is. It's not I do right and I hope the Lord just pours the gold into my bank account. It's don't replace or don't answer evil with evil. Return evil with good. Don't avenge yourselves. Do good to them that hate you. Do good. And you know what? That's the victory. That's the success. I don't know what we're looking for in this sometimes. It's not this, if I do good, then God's going to reward me at the judgment seat. Maybe, but the victory is here. The victory is you overcame evil with good. You won. You honored Jesus Christ in a matter where you had a choice. I could either choose evil or I can choose good, and I chose good. And again, Don't beat yourself up about it. Oh, it's good works, good works. You're created in Jesus Christ to do good works. That's what you're created in Jesus Christ for. That's Ephesians, New Testament, Paul. In Jesus Christ, you're created for good works. This is the victory. What does John say? This is the victory that overcomes the world. Not I do good and I hope somewhere on the other side there's some reward. It's here's the reward. I did the right thing. I honored Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ got the honor. Winning, that's it. That's the good. And I realize it really tests your motives, because then you ask the question, do I really want to honor Jesus Christ? Because I don't really feel like I'm getting a whole lot out of this. Well, that's a good question. Do you want to be a Christian or not? That's a good question. Because honoring Jesus Christ looks like you come to these crossroads and you choose good to honor Jesus Christ. And that's the victory. You say, well, what else? I don't get any money for this. I don't get any. What happens? You honor Jesus Christ. If that's not good enough, maybe you don't like Christianity. Maybe you want to choose something else. But I would say if Jesus Christ, and you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins, you believe Jesus Christ satisfied the Father in his death, we talk about it. Oh, I want to serve God. I want to serve God. Serving God means now, here. Do it now. Do the right things here. And maybe, don't even look for the thing over yonder, over the rainbow. The victory, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even your faith. That's 1 John. And so here is an application of faith. This is an application of it. It doesn't sound real spiritual, maybe. It doesn't sound real, you know, these are deep doctrines and stuff like that. Well, it's probably deep because it's hard to do. I remember when the writer of Hebrews says, you know, the ones that are accustomed to strong meat, they have their senses exercised. Not that they're heady, or not that they're, you know, they got big brains or something. The ones that are meaty, that can handle meaty instruction, they've behaved properly in hard times. And they've exercised their senses to know what's right and what's wrong. And not only do they know, but they've done the right thing patiently. And therefore, they have the understanding of what does obedience look like? What does it feel like? We talked about that before. So this is one aspect of it. Supporting your family. Supporting your family. Maybe you thought this would be a more profound sermon or something. But I will add to that. I appreciate it when I find things out in Christianity that are simple. And I realized, oh, if I just cared for mom and dad like Jesus Christ cares for me, and I just honor Jesus Christ in that relationship, that's acceptable to God. Well, that's helpful. I don't have to jump through hoops. I don't have to jump through rings of fire. It's like carrying luggage without a handle, but now I put a handle on it. Now I can carry it around. Now I got something I can grab onto. I can do something. It's not abstract. It's almost so day-to-day that it feels like it's not spiritual, but it is. It almost feels like, well, there should be more to this, but there's not. Paul says, be sure, Timothy, that you teach your congregation this. Why? Because this is a fundamental of the faith. And if people aren't doing this, I wouldn't even consider them Christian. Well, that's rough. Well, did you read what you just read? I mean, if we're believing the Bible, if we're going by the Bible, that's what you just read. And again, maybe it just feels like it's too simple. I don't know. There's other scenarios and things like that. I get there's nuances, there's problems, there's dysfunctions in families, things like that. But the spirit is, I'm going to take care of my family. That's the spirit. If any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. You mean that's it? I mean, should I be passing out a tract? Yeah, passing out tracts is good. But this is also good. This is behavior. This is relationship stuff. This is relationship stuff that honors God. Supporting family. I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard a sermon about this particular thing. Maybe I have. I've forgotten a lot of stuff. But I hope that's helpful. Because that's Christianity. It's an aspect of it. I don't know where Ben, I guess Ben. You want to sing anything, Ben? Okay. Well, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, and you'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. Thank you for each soul that's here.